We'll decode the July 1, 2011 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Brian Patry, KG4WIJ. At the Dayton Hamvention, Tapper held its annual forum in which talks were given spelling out what Tapper is doing and hopes to do. One entertaining talk that may be construed a bit irreverent by fundamentalist hams was given by Bruce Perrins, K6BP, on Codec 2 speech coding. So, who is Bruce Perrins?
I'm a technical evangelist in amateur radio, so I lobby people, organizations, and government for positive change. So, one of the things that I did is I worked on open source. It is hard to believe after hearing the talks here that anyone ever had to be evangelized on open source. I evangelized on no code, no one shot me, and I lived. I've evangelized on open hardware. John Ackerman and everybody who makes hardware at Tapper is doing great on open hardware. There is a broader community that's actually following Tapper's innovation. For example, there are 9 Arduino shields that are licensed under the Tapper Open Hardware license, which I just found out yesterday. Now I actually have to talk about doing things in the other direction. These guys have watched us with open hardware and have actually gotten ahead of us in directions that are useful to us. There are open codecs, which I'm evangelizing about. I hope there are some new D-Star folks to this particular part of the talk. And then there's a new project I'd like to evangelize called HTOTF. So since I'm an evangelist, though, you might have heard, Judgment Day is tomorrow, okay, according to familyradio.com. And it happens that I have been told the judging rules. They are, he who dies with the most toys wins. Okay, so fortunately, you're at Hamvention. Okay, the other beneficial effect of being at Hamvention is that you are already in a state of grace. And you will be raptured right up into the ionosphere. However, we have this situation where you remember we used to have Net 44 for TCP/IP, and Net 44 has 16,777,215 IPv4 addresses that we're not using. Oh yeah, Phil Karn numbered his local net at home to use them, but that's about all I've heard of people using them. So we have a problem there, which is the sin of gluttony, because the rest of the internet has no IPv4 addresses left at all, and maybe we should be nice and give them back. And if we don't want to be nice, maybe we should sell them. Okay, and do something good with the money. Okay, getting agreement on this will be hard. Okay, now if you've read your Bible about Judgment Day, you know that this is followed by 10 years of the tribulation, during which there will be no sunspots. Okay, so change is resisted. And then it happens, and I just love this guy because obviously he was a patron of the old ways, and he was relying on this organization to help to preserve them. Okay, nothing has changed in 80 years. And those poor ARRL guys, they know what has to change to preserve amateur radio, and they have to get their members to agree to it. Okay, so Codec 2 is a project that I evangelized for a while, but unfortunately I couldn't do it. I don't have the math chops. We fortunately found people who do. A codec encodes and decodes something, and in this case, a codec encodes a voice signal to digital bits and back so that you can have digital voice communications. And if you know D-Star, D-Star is one way of doing digital voice communications. Unfortunately, we have things to improve about D-Star. So Codec 2 is a competing digital voice codec to D-Star. The software works today. You can download it. It is, of course, open source. We're still improving it. You can do QSOs over voice over IP, and it's been tested over the air. But why do we need Codec 2? Well, there's one problem with D-Star that we'd like to fix. Okay, D-Star is a major way of doing digital voice. It was created by Japanese Amateur Radio League, meant to be an open standard. And it's now understood well enough that there are interoperating implementations of D-Star that don't come from ICOM. They are indeed open hardware. D-Star data is a completely open standard which amateurs can build and tweak without limitation. Not so for D-Star voice. It is not completely open. Why? Because of this thing called AMBI. AMBI is the codec used in D-Star. It is a black box, and its internals are deliberately kept secret. It is a very big business because it is in things like APCO 25, the next generation of HTs for fire and police. And it's made by Digital Voice Systems Incorporated. You can buy it in the form of a chip or a dongle that implements AMBI, which uses that chip, but you can't implement it yourself. Buying it as software costs somewhere between $100,000 and $1 million. ICOM did not buy it as software. They don't know how it works. They just buy the chips. And source code, you've got to be kidding. So the AMBI codec in D-Star is implemented in an off-the-shelf TI DSP chip in which the programming fuse is blown. The DV dongle provides a USB interface to this chip, costs about $200 list. That TI DSP chip is about 1/100th as powerful as your PC. Your PC could do a better job of doing voice coding. So why would you pay $200 for a black box algorithm running in substandard hardware? Because you respect intellectual property. The best slogan since Arbeit macht free. So we have a matter of principle here, really. Every over-the-air communications protocol we make in amateur radio should be 100% buildable by radio amateurs. There should be no barriers to our understanding every part well enough that we can recreate it from first principles if necessary. That means if they stop making the chip, we have to have a way to make our own. And we should also be very, very careful regarding the presence of patents, because this is a very litigious industry, because digital voice coding is also used in smartphones, which are big, big money right now. So we should draw a line in the sand. The line in the sand is that restrictive intellectual property protection is fundamentally inappropriate for an over-the-air protocol for amateur radio. Guys, never again, please. Okay, we know better now. It wasn't their fault before, but never again, please. Okay, so how do we fix it? Talk isn't enough, which is why we need people other than Bruce who have to do the work, who know how to do the work. But just a few of us have the mathematical and technical chops to do voice coding. So Jean-Marc Vallée, author of Speaks, introduced me to David Rowe, who's designed our codec. David had previously written an open source Lion Echo Canceller. Until he did this in open source, echo cancellation was considered magical. He created an open hardware PBX that is commercially manufactured, and he created a Wi-Fi mesh network hardware device called the Mesh Potato, and on a grant project he has installed these as a mesh telephone network in Dili in Timor, and has discovered all sorts of interesting things, unfortunately many of them negative, about making Wi-Fi mesh networks.
You're listening to a talk given during the Tapper Forum at the 2011 Dayton Hamvention by Bruce Perrins, K6BP, on the subject of Codec 2 speech coding. We'll continue part one of Bruce's presentation in a moment. This is the Rain Report, available on iTunes.
Codec 2, which is what David has been working on, is going to be, or about is now, a 2400 bit per second voice codec. It encodes 3.5 seconds of speech in 1K byte, which is pretty magical, if you ask me. It's not interoperable with AMBI. It will never be directly interoperable with D-Star voice, but it's easy to gateway one to the other. It has an intellectual property strategy, which is it's under GIF-style open source license, allows both commercial and non-commercial products, no royalties, doesn't require others to reveal their code. So no problem with ICOM putting this in the next generation HT if we can persuade them to do so. The technology is based on works that were published in the early 90s. The patents would have been expired on them. Others are published inventions of David Rowe. And if patent holders go after us, we have strategies for defending ourselves against them. So how do you do voice compression? The challenge in encoding voice is to compress it. This is not the sort of compression that makes contesters punch through the pileup. Okay, it's a reduction of the amount of bandwidth necessary to encode voice. And one of the keys to this is not building something that can encode all sounds, but only voice signals. So what isn't voice? Touch tones. Okay, they're explicitly not harmonically related in your voices, because back in the 60s, when they had no computing power to speak of, the phone company needed a way to distinguish touch tones from voice. So that was the difference. They're not harmonically related. Key press information should not be sent through your audio codec. It should be encoded as very low bandwidth data. Music won't go through. This isn't MP3. Courtesy beep can be done. It'll work okay. Background noise, horrible. Okay, you have to process it out before encoding. It isn't handled as gracefully as FM by far. This is a really big problem for current users of APCO 25. If you're a fireman, there's a buzzsaw going behind you, you're talking on the radio. The codec does its best to take that noise and turn it into voice. And it sounds like someone gargling on the other side of the communication. So you have to process that noise out before you put it on the air. So these things will not go through the codec. How does voice work? We start with a low frequency buzz from your vocal cords. We filter it very extensively to make emphasis or notched out frequencies in the harmonics. These are called formants. We have a modulated noise source for sibilance and plosives. Voice speech is harmonics of vocal cords. Unvoiced speech is modulated noise or silence. They'll never let me near their microphone again. The sinusoidal speech model, this is basic SDR. How do you make this? You take multiple sine waves at different frequencies, different amplitudes, and different phases, combine them to make a complex waveform. You determine if the speech is voiced first when you're coding it. It's either harmonic of vocal cords or it's the noise, which is sibilance, plosives, or silence. You find the fundamental frequency of your vocal cords. You run an FFT, which is a spectrum analysis that breaks sound down into a bunch of sine waves, with the bins or frequency bands where you expect the harmonics of your vocal cords to be, and thus you find the harmonic amplitudes. And that's how you get the basic parameters of voice. So in the frequency domain, you have your fundamental frequency over there, and then these are all harmonics of it. And what you really want to encode is this really simple looking curve here. That's the information you really need. So you see how we throw away a lot of information. So we have an encoder block diagram here that I'm not actually going to explain, because I hope I'm getting to some of the less technical people here. But all of this stuff is easy to get from our software on the web. This is, I think, an old bit allocation, so we end up with 51 bits for a 20 mil. So anyway, we end up with less than 7 bytes for a frame. So AMBI takes this and puts on top of it error correction. We implement error correction on the same DSP as the codec in AMBI. In codec 2, we don't do that. The error correction is a separate project, because error correction should be different for every radio channel. And also, I think AMBI is sending the error correction over TCP/IP, which does nothing but double the bandwidth it uses. So there are cases in which you want different error correction for different applications, or sometimes no error correction at all.
This concludes our first excerpt from a technical talk about speech coding by Bruce Perrins, K6BP, given during the Tapper Forum at the 2011 Dayton Hamvention back in May. We'll actually bring you some more technical stuff next week when we conclude Bruce's talk. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990 through 2011, RAIN, all rights reserved. Now, for all those connected to and with RAIN, I'm Brian Patry, KG4WIJ, bidding you 7-3 from all of us at the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.